You're listening to DraftKings Network.
What's going on, guys? Ellie from Copper90. You might not know who I am, but you've got nothing better to do. So watch the Soccer Cooligans talking all things football, politics, music, culture. Swipe up, click the link, do
that'll
something.
Do, that'll perfect. Do.
Let's go. Okay. Twitch, Premier League, the Cooligans. It is quite the threesome, if I may
right.
say.
You know, this is why you downloaded Thruple, folks.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Prem Show. If you're listening to the podcast, thank you for that. Thank you to everybody here on Twitch right now.
I'm going to tweet you.
Yes, we already got comment. It's Snave said, did someone say threesome? That's right.
What up, Snaves?
What's good, Adam Snavely? Welcome to the show. Hello, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Okay, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest Premier League soccer show on eltwitch.com.
Yay, yay. And we also happen to be the gulliest. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, that do all those the things I just mentioned.
Yeah.
So, hello, everybody. I'm excited about today's show. Not only because we have a bunch of Premier League-related stuff, some European soccer stuff to talk about, but the NWSL draft is tonight, and we're going to be rating the NWSL Twitch. I feel like in these times, it's too flippant to be like, we're going to raid anything. You know what I mean? Like, right. I don't want to raid
gonna
anything.
We're going to present our followers in a very respectful manner.
I don't want to raid. I don't want to storm. I don't want to infiltrate. I want to be careful.
Right. We're not trying to be seditious in any way, shape, or form. Right.
So, it's looking the NWSL draft obviously going to be held on Twitch remotely. And, you know, it's not going to have the same pageantry of the in-person ones. But it should be exciting nonetheless. So where should we begin today with our Premier League news? I mean, we have to start with Manchester United, right?
I mean, I was going to say, let's just not even talk about Manchester United. You know what I mean?
Because through the beginning of doing this show, we were talking about Manchester United, and it was more somber or sad or just like we were just more. It was more of a concern.
We're like, well, when Ole gets fired, then we'll be able to really decide what team this is.
But no, it is. I mean, when you look at the top of the table, la di da.
They just so happen to be there. Yeah.
Okay. Manchester United sitting comfortably, I would say, 3 points ahead, even on games, on matches with Liverpool. And up 3 points, they are doing nothing but, I mean, they're doing nothing but not losing. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing. Look, I'm going to give Manchester United all the credit in the world. I don't even think they're playing at their best ability, and they're in first place. So top of the table, shouts to you. Here's my thing, though.
I just want to say, Punk Rock Dad, thank you for the sub. I appreciate it very much.
Shouts to you, Punk Rock Dad. You can see Arsenal without scrolling. Let's go. We made it. That's why I got this 48-inch monitor. I put it on its side. It's actually long ways.
Sure.
And that way I could always see Arsenal. I don't know what you do, but that's how I make myself feel better. Right? Look, Liverpool lost Virgil van Dijk. On the first 11.
Who knows how? Who remembers even? No way. He's just gone. He's just missing.
Look, he lost them. They put a couple pieces of paper up, but it's quarantine, so no one can see them, right? No one knows. But where would you say he is on a scale of 1 to 11 as his importance to that team?
Why 11? Why?
Because there's 11 players on the field.
Oh, okay. I thought usually, you know, dials only have 10, but I thought there's going to be a Spinal Tap reference. Anyway, it goes to 11. How important is...
Justin Freeberg said, is Alexis putting an asterisk on this first place right now? Just... Wait till I get there.
So you're asking how important is Virgil van Dijk to Liverpool?
Would you say he's the number one most important? Would you say he's in the top three?
So you're saying his absence is why they're not in first place right now.
No, I'm asking you, what number do you think is his importance to Liverpool?
Meaning one being the best?
Yes.
Okay. Then I'm going to have to say his importance is a 2?
Its name says 69, which, again, not in our scale, but I respect it.
2.
I would say 2 or 3, right? Because Salah, I would say Sadio Mane is probably better. Probably more important.
We're getting a couple some in the chat. DJ Minotti says definitely 11, which is okay. That's how you feel. Chad Benti saying number 4. Minotti correct themselves. 2. And then Olas Corey said 3 or 4. When it comes to, so who would be, in my opinion, the most important player to Liverpool?
It's got to be Salah.
I feel like it's Mane.
I would say Salah and Mane are 1 and 2, and I think Virgil van Dijk is 3.
Okay.
Right? But to that point, who's the equivalent player on Manchester United? Bruno Fernandes, you got to say he's number 1, right? Then maybe Marcus Rashford? And I'm simply just talking about how they're playing this year.
Okay. It's hard to say. I feel like Manchester United, and I want to maybe look at just some stats of, like, because I feel like who's the leading goal scorer?
Chad Bentley said Henderson is number 1. Don't do that, because I will continue to go off all episode.
I'm trying to think who. Okay, so if you look at the stats, or I mean, for goals, Bruno Fernandes with 11. Next up is Marcus Rashford at 7. Assists, Fernandes. Passes, Harry Maguire.
And then Bruno Fernandes, number 2. And remember, Bruno Fernandes, whatchamacallit, you know, hasn't had that much time on this. Obviously, he's been here all season, but he hasn't. It's not like he's been in this club for, like, years.
Correct. Yeah, I guess Bruno Fernandes. I mean, look, but you're looking at this. He's leading goal scorer, but he's also the penalty taker as well. So that kind of, I don't, how many goals have been penalties for him?
Doesn't matter. I mean, the reason they gave it to him is because he's he's good under that pressure moment.
Okay, that's fair.
So if you lost the equivalent player on Manchester United, would they still be in first place? That's how I'm considering them. Are they as good a team or as a club as Liverpool? Does that make sense?
Yes. You're asking. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Okay.
So if they lost, let's say it's Sadio Mane, then Salah, then Virgil van Dijk, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got Bruno Fernandes, then you've got Marcus Rashford. Then who's the third most important person on United? I'd say it's probably Pogba, but I'd get laughed out of every conversation.
Not Pogba. I mean, I'm going to have to argue it would be... it feels like it would be a defender. I feel like either... I'm looking here. I mean, if you just look...
Lindelof?
No, Harry Maguire.
Or Wan-Bissaka. It's probably Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Wan-Bissaka leading the team in tackles with 49 feels like, and the next is 32. So as far as like who's, sacrificing their body for results, it feels like.
I believe you mean bis-sacrificing their body.
Oh, yeah. I was. You know what? My mistake for now.
I'm glad I was here to correct you.
Look, they're getting the results, and teams are not really scoring on them that easily. So
would, and this is a question for the chat. This is a question for the listeners.
We got Felix Palau. People also saying Scott McTominay as well, which I could.
McTominay, yes, but he goes in and out to me. Wan-Bissaka has been not only consistent, but seems to be getting better and better with every match.
Okay, that is fair.
So would Manchester United, because I want to give Manchester United credit, they did something that I did not expect them to do, which is be consistent. They've been consistent over the last few matches, and they've gotten themselves to the point where they're not only in first place, but even if Liverpool were to win, their next match, right? I forget the table right now, but if Liverpool were to win the next match, well, no, they have a better goal differential, so they would go top. But, I mean, look at them. They're in first place with the same amount of games played, right? So I want to give them credit, but I want to say, is this real, right? Is this, for as bad as they played previous, is this real?
It feels like it. I mean, look, they won today. What, 1-0? The goal from Pogba was well, that was today or yesterday?
That was yesterday.
Sorry. Okay, Nutmeg is he's correcting me. He's like, yeah. Yesterday.
He was like, yesterday. Felix Palau says, I think it's real. Of course you do. You're a United fan.
It feels pretty real. I mean, from the matches, I haven't watched all of them for Manchester United, but like even in the, we were talking about the, in the Carabao Cup when they were playing against Everton, the team, they look pretty sharp. You know, again, they didn't have the most consistent of starts throughout the season, but they look pretty legit.
They do look pretty legit, but here's, again, my question is, if they were handed a loss like Virgil van Dijk at the beginning of the season, would they be able to withstand what Liverpool's been able to withstand? So I'm just trying to see who's the better club. Oh,
okay, so you're saying essentially, yeah, with Virgil van Dijk, they would be, Liverpool would most likely be in first place. That's what you're
100%. I do believe they would be in first place, and I do believe Manchester United would be in second place, and I think it'd be competitive. But if they lost out on Wan-Bissaka, who we've all agreed is the third best player on the team, just like Virgil van Dijk is the third most important player on that team, the same way Virgil van Dijk is the third most important player on Liverpool, where would Manchester United be? Without Wan-Bissaka, I don't think they're in first place. I don't think they're like in sixth. I think they're in the top four. I still think Manchester United is a very good team when they put it all together, and it does seem like they're putting it all together. But the point I'm trying to make is Liverpool is missing one of its best players, one of its simply most important players, one of its most expensive players, and it's right, and they're right there. They're in second place.
That is true. It feels like other teams have dealt with maybe a little bit more adversity than Manchester United this season. Not to say that United have had it easy per se.
No, but think about what hasn't been easy for United. Everything that hasn't been easy or all their adversity has been self-made. You know what I mean?
Sure, but
it's all their own drama.
But other teams have had either dealing with red card suspensions, COVID, positive results. The fact that Manchester City is in third place with everything that they've dealt with is a bit of a surprise as well. The fact that it's still, I thought one team would be able to sort of just break off and be a bit more dominant and be in first place. Like similar to like last a year where, or 2 years ago, where Liverpool and Manchester City were just like 20 points ahead of third and fourth place and stuff like that. So it's been pretty close because Everton are in fifth place and they've had a couple wins. I mean, the fact that Everton have won 10 matches. Felix Palau, what's up? Thank you so much.
Thank you for subscribing. And I do want to point, by the way, 10 wins for Everton, usually end of the season before we get to that number. So congratulations. But I do want to point out something that Felix Palau said, because he said Danny Williams did okay on the right wing during the Carabao loss, out of position, but looks like he can do his thing there if Wan-Bissaka got hurt. Yes, he can play the game. That's what you're supposed to be able to do as a backup. But let's be honest, week in and week out, if you have someone like Danny Williams in that position, everyone else can start to, attack the other defenders, and you can start to pinpoint the other defenders, or you can start to go hard at Danny Williams a little harder, and now it makes the job harder across the board. A player like Wan-Bissaka, you can't do that with. Yeah. So that's just the point I'm trying to make. I do think Liverpool is, even though they don't have the names right now that I think, you know, and again, I still rate Pogba. So you got Rashford, Martial, Bruno Fernandes, Pogba. There's something refreshing about United. So I get why everyone's excited that they're in first. I'm happy for them. They're clearly playing incredibly well. It still seems to me like this is Liverpool's league to lose versus United's league to win.
Okay. We'll see. I mean, I think the next couple matches, that conveniently the next match for Manchester United is against Liverpool.
You see how I put that all together?
So that will be, I think, a big game. Manchester United wins that game. I think we have a real argument for, a nice little title race on our hands. So that should be pretty exciting. Obviously, Everton will be right there, so we all expect that as well.
DJ Min
Minotti said, if you look at the games where the squad is rotated, Bruno not starting and Rashford not starting, they play horribly, which I think is common for teams like, right, you bring in like the B squad or the least preferred, formation. That happens, right? You don't always, that's not what you always do in training. That's not really what you prepare for. So it's not exactly what you want. The difference is when Arsenal does that, we play better because we bring in Emile Smith Rowe and, Saka.
Yeah. The Justin Freeberg just said, can we talk about Sheffield United finally getting their first win?
I feel so happy for their manager. I forget the dude's name, but boy, I mean, what a time he had last season, and what a shift this year, man. Yeah,
it's been a bit of a difference, but they did beat Newcastle. One goal, I think it was a penalty, right? Yeah, from Billy Sharp. The fact, I mean, we've been talking about it throughout the season. It just doesn't make any sense that they're so bad so quickly. The fact that they're, I mean, it's their first win, but the fact that they were, they got promoted a couple years ago and then are fighting for a Europa League spot, and this is where they are now. So Chris Wilder is the manager.
Chris Wilder, yeah.
A shame that this has been the struggle, but do we want to make any continued prediction? Do you think who is going to get relegated? Do you think the teams that are there right now will end up getting relegated?
I would have said Fulham, but they looked pretty good today, and that we should definitely talk about that. And I'm willing to talk about that game for the entirety of the show.
Tottenham losing is always a hot topic.
I'll tell you who's going to get relegated. Burnley, dude. I don't even see him on here. You know what I mean? That's how bad they're playing. There's a real chance that Wolves get relegated, to be honest with you.
There is not a real chance. Why would you say that?
I totally believe. I mean, look at the points. Then, yeah, there's probably not.
I think so. I mean, the team I want to see relegated are really just like Burnley and Brighton. They've had enough time.
But Brighton plays so dope.
No.
Yeah, dude, I love the way Brighton play. They're trying. They're trying to change what they used to be. They used to be the lump it forward type club, and now they're trying, They got, what was the Lamptey, that kid, right?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, yeah, I know that, yeah. That kid. This is what, their third season since they've been, since they got promoted? You've had enough time. You've had enough fun.
Shex has said, not based on math, but relegated based on vibes. That's what I'm talking about with Wolves, dude. Like, they're not going to get relegated, but like, off the rip, no. They relegated. What I mean?
Wolves are too. They're too Portuguese to go out like that. You know what I mean? They have too many dudes that
you're saying they won't accept the relegation.
No,
they're just smoking cigarettes. You're like, no, guys, you can't come back in.
Look, ever since they had, unfortunately, ever since Raul Jimenez got injured, they have dudes that can't like tapping the ball from 4 yards out, but they can rocket the ball from 30 yards out. You know what I mean? Like, that's their...
It's just like, what, physics doesn't make sense at that club.
They're too much fun to watch. Everton, we could talk about that. Everton did defeat Wolves in the last their last match. This was the game that was on Peacock, and it started with no commentary. Yeah, did you remember that, Alexis?
It was the frustrating part was I don't know if I liked it better without the commentary, because the commentary came on at what, like the 8th minute or something like that.
Something like that. It might have been a little bit later. It was definitely like it felt like you were watching the FIFA videos on YouTube that have no commentary. You're just like watching old World Cup highlights, but they can't show anything, so they can't say anything. So it felt like it actually made me think. I'm like, do I like this? Do I like not hearing anyone and just
that's what I'm talking about.
Focusing
it was
on the
game. Real question.
Yeah, and and there's like a yes and no to it.
It kind of felt like you were there
for the most part. I would say most Premier League announcers are pretty good. Like they're either, if it's like sort of, I don't know if it's like a background noise thing that you just like prefer to hear something or you're just used to hearing something, but it didn't feel right to not have it. in this instance. But there have been situations where I have preferred to not hear it.
I will say that I do think it was some intern in the Peacock truck or something who was just like forgot to turn it up. Because if you notice, the announcers didn't just start. They faded up real slow. And I like to think it was just some dude who was like, I mean, if I do it like real slow, no one will notice. I forgot to turn it on at the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, you just start hearing these British dudes.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break up with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, Gully Squad. I mean, the last, during quarantine, Gully Squad has not only become a dope soccer community, but it's becoming a vital space for my emotional well-being.
Okay? Yes, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have anyone to talk to a lot of the time. And also, I would not know what an apple crisp is.
Okay, yeah, we are. There's so much communication and sharing of food. It's I don't really dwell in that channel too much.
No, you're not allowed to. Your girl can see it on your face that you're looking at food.
She goes through my phone not to look for like texts from other girls. She's like
booty pick, booty pick, booty pick sandwich.
Dad, what is this? How dare you betray me like this?
She's messaging me, home wrecker.
Gully Squad is obviously the Cooligans community. Of people that are fans of soccer, fans of comedy, fans of food, fans of pizza. It's an opportunity to help support the content that we put out, help us put out more content that we can deliver to the masses, and also get some exclusive content for yourself. So there's a bunch of really cool things going on in there. We have an amazing Slack channel that may or may not exist. Who knows?
Hey, even though we just talked about it.
Exactly, but you know, it's vague. It's very vague. So you can join at any level. You can join, you can give like $5, $10, you can give more. If you give more, there's more perks involved, like merch and a pin and stickers and different things like that. So it's, if you're a fan of soccer, if you're a fan of comedy, we highly recommend you joining, and it definitely helps the show grow, so we can do a bunch of other fun things, you know, in 2021 when we can finally travel, we can be able to go do live shows and do live events and do a lot of other things like that. So
plus, you get some really exclusive stuff, like when we release the pins, you get a pin for joining.
That's right.
When we release the pop socket, you got a pop socket for joining, stuff like that. So there's a lot of really good exclusive stuff. It's not just being a part of the Slack channel that may or may not exist, but trust me, that's a dope part of it.
Very much so. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button now. It was like just noticeable, but I was glad that Everton got the 3 points. The goal from former Arsenal legend Alex Iwobi, and this was a
to start the match.
This was the weird thing was that Dominic Calvert-Lewin couldn't play. They started the match with no striker. And I thought this was going to be really, really bad. And Iwobi scoring is like, especially the way he did, you're just like, yeah, not expecting it. And I was like, okay, didn't expect this type of goal this season from him.
This type of goal this season?
Well, he scored from like the center of the box. It was just like surprising. I'm like, he's never even really there.
You just don't believe in Iwobi, huh? Oh,
without a doubt, I do not believe him. Not to score. He's like, it's interesting. Because I feel like at Arsenal, he was a little bit more, not that he's necessarily great 1v1, but I thought he would be a little bit like pacier over some defenders and things like that. He's like, he's playing a little bit more physical. I don't remember really him at Arsenal that much, but
he was so young at Arsenal. It's really hard to rate against how he's playing today.
He's using his body more, to kind of muscle out defenders rather than outrunning them, necessarily. So, you know, it's working out to some degree.
The one thing I do think that he had at Arsenal and he has at Everton is when the ball gets at his feet, I think he just needs to be a little bit better at making that decision. But when he puts his head down and he decides to go 1v1, he's oftentimes, more often than not, he's a much more dynamic player.
Okay.
So I love his spatial ability. I love his ability to come back and track back. I love his ability to come get the ball closer to midfield so that it gives everyone else an opportunity to set up. The one thing I always hated about him at Arsenal is like, when the moment is right for him to go 1v1, he decides not to. And when the moment isn't right, he decides to do it. You're like, what are you doing, dude? Everyone else is open.
Yeah, that is a bit of an issue. I'm surprised that they ended up winning, to be honest. And then Judd on the bench just asked, how did Everton score two goals with no strikers? And it was the second goal off a corner. From a corner, and then a cross in. I believe Andre Gomez crossed the ball in. And Michael Keane, when it comes to set pieces, Everton are desperately relying on Yerry Mina and Michael Keane.
Height.
Send the big boys in there.
You know how many goals Height has on corners this year for Everton?
Put your noggin on it, okay? No concussion breaks. Oh, that's what no concussion timeouts or anything. They're like,
their concussion protocol is, can you stand up? He's good, coach.
Justin Freebird said, Gomez can do something? LOL. Yeah, dude. It's interesting because Everton has to they've dealt with, you know, some adversity, red cards, injuries. Alan is injured, has a
which yeah, somebody Jen on the bench says Gomez needs Alan to come back. When does what is Alan's I guess return?
I don't know. I mean, he's he had like a thigh issue. They were too thick. You know what I'm saying? he had a hand.
They're trying to space his hips out. You know what I mean?
Okay. He injured himself doing the bus it challenge. Okay, you know, I hate to see it.
Yeah, but the floor got injured. Much worse.
No, he. I don't know when he's gonna be back, but I think. Tom Davies and Andre Gomez can fill that role. Alan is like both of those players in one. You know, he's good on the ball. He can defend. He can track back. He's a good decision maker. Andre Gomez is not the fastest in the world. Occasionally loses the ball, but he's a little bit more creative than Tom Davies. Tom Davies is he's like,
he's a brute.
He's a brute.
Man.
Just like send him out. He's like, he tucks his hair in a ponytail. He's like, all right, who are you? I'm gonna go after. And that's what he's like.
who wants
but
smoke.
As far as a player that, you know, I don't think there is any player in the Premier League that takes fewer positive touches than Tom Davies. Meaning he does not move the ball forward. And if he does,
he just tries not to lose the ball and he passes it back to a defender.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's your other Sigurdsson.
Sigurdsson is at least tries. He played like a false nine in this game. And that's definitely not what he should be doing.
and here's what we learned from that experiment. No.
Because a lot of it was, him being, he did the like, he frustrated like a striker, like they didn't get me the ball. Like, bro, you don't have the movement to be able to do that, to be complaining at the passer because you're not really in the correct position to receive the ball.
This ain't for you.
So John on the bench also said, James's diagonal ball opens up those spaces. Yeah. And James is great too, but I mean, let's be for real. James cannot really defend. He had like one tackle that was pretty impressive in that game.
I will say he is trying more this year than I've ever seen him in his career try.
It's so crazy how like slow he looks when he's trying to defend. And then when he's with the ball, he's still in that slow-mo, but like no one can figure out where he's going to move next. He's so good on the ball. It's pretty wild how he's like, I just don't want him to be like a risk defensively. But it's
Justin Freeberg says, is Davies the English Gilfie or is Gilfie the Icelandic Davies?
I mean, look, this is, I feel like this question will create some sort of black hole. You know what I mean? It is really going to collapse within itself. It's
professors have suggested never to ask this question. I actually think there's so many Icelandic Davies that Davies is the English Gilfie, okay. Because there's so many bruisers on that Icelandic team.
Oh my goodness.
We've never talked about it. Somebody put it in the chat. Odasowi, the American kid, the U.S. men's national team
Wolves.
Kid on
Wolves. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big chance for him if he starts to get a bit more playing time. I'm not sure why he was put in there.
C-Bunts, 2315. Thank you for the sub. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, homie.
Yeah, I got to get... is the mic back in there?
Chad Benty said, don't be hating on my national team. Which one's yours? Are you Iceland?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we know it's a bunch of bruisers, right? They play 9-0-1, I think, is their formation.
I think the coach is one of those, too. I mean,
DJ Minotti says, did Spurs win today? And let's just talk about this, because I always enjoy when the answer to that question is no.
Yeah, they very much drew. They definitely should have won, right? There was that.
I don't know what you're talking about. I thought they could have lost, to be completely honest with you.
There was the shot that Youngmin Son hit off the post,
which, by the way, everyone thought went in. Even the goalkeeper, when that bounced back into his hands, he was like, "How did you get here?"
Harry Kane scored a goal. Ivan Cavaleiro. I don't know where he's from exactly, but he scored a goal as well. Both headers. Harry Kane's goal was pretty dope, though. It was a diving header. So that was pretty impressive. But can you
pull up their the table though? Because I just want everyone to see what their form of last five games has been.
The table. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, there they are. Look at that. That is one win from your last five.
Mm-hmm.
Two draws. So if I'm doing the math correctly, which again, I'm probably not, that's 5 points from your last 25 available points, right?
Yes. Wait, 25 available points? What do you mean?
Oh, wait. 15?
Yes, 15.
Yeah. From your last 15. I told you I was probably not doing it right. I'm doing this on the fly here. From your last available 15 points. That's not great. This isn't the strongest form. In fact, who was the win against Leeds? Their win against Leeds has been their only win since they beat Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is what I'm saying. I really love, thank you, Chad Bentley. I will never talk shit about Iceland. this is what I'm talking about when it comes to Tottenham. I would love if Tottenham continue to trend the way they're trending and Arsenal continue to trend the way they're trending. Because I can see from here that Arsenal has won three of their last five.
Mm.
And they've taken 9 points. Actually, they've taken 10 points out of their last possible. Is that true? No, 12 points. Wait, hold on.
This is
10 out of their last possible 15.
This is why you tune into this show. To watch Alexis solve simple, very simple math problems.
Imagine I just pretend I'm doing it in my mind, but you start to see the paper from the calculator with the paper attached.
Do you remember Close? Do you remember Close, those books that like math problems, but they were very word based and like
you mean like a word problem?
No. Yes, but Close is like the focus of it was like word problems. So it was like adding a real life situation to a math problem, so that kids could figure out. Who remembers Close? Close. That's what it was called. Close.
You went to one of those like wacky schools.
No, this is like an elementary school. This is a New York public school. I remember doing this.
How come I'm the only one who calls it a grammar school? Did anyone else call elementary school grammar school?
Isn't that like a British thing?
No. I think they call it like, you know, tertiary school or something. Some real other shit like that. Shanks has said Miroslav Close.
That's a good...
thank you for putting it back to soccer. My point is to say Tottenham, all right? Who are they? Are they the club from the first, you know, let's say half of the season, right? Mm-hmm. Or are they this club? Who do you think?
Tottenham very much feel they are this club that we're seeing right now. They are not dominant enough, consistent enough. Are they, you know, will they be fighting for first place? I don't think so. I think they're going to have, they're not beating the teams that they should beat. That's kind of the bigger concern. And then when it comes to, I guess the concern of like losing to Leicester, losing to, who else did they lose to?
Top of my voice said Alexis is secretly 100 years old because I called it grammar school. Y'all don't remember that? It was during the gold rush.
I think they're They what is it that coach? They were what we Mourinho? Thought they were. You know?
Oh yeah, the dude from the Cardinals, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the reason why I'm asking, because when this is what happens when you have Jose Mourinho as your manager, right? Mm. Like, you are feast or famine, and it seems like they're kind of sliding into that famine period where he's going to get frustrated with the club. He's going to start calling people out. It's just not going to go well. And I know I've been talking a lot of shit about Spurs since I was born, and I'm going to continue to do it. But I think when you look at how the season is trending, I don't see. All I can see is Jose Mourinho saying, you know, blaming this on one or two players, making it bad for them, kind of like how he did with Dele Alli, and then trying to see if everyone else falls in line.
Okay.
I don't think he has another gear.
I do want to, you know, look, it'll probably collapse as it usually does with Mourinho teams towards the end, but the, or you know, the usually the third year, that's when it happens. But I do want to point out one thing. Tottenham, a lot of people are mentioning that they played, they won against Marine FC. And this was kind of cool because, let me see if I can, find a photo of the pitch.
While you're saying that, DJ Minotti said they should have never fired Pochettino. I completely agree, but I am excited to see what he does at PSG, though.
Yeah, the I mean, there were a bunch of fun moments with Marine FC, right? The fans, one of the fans had a
cardboard
cut of Jurgen Klopp.
Also, that fan kind of looks like the who's the dude from who's the actor who said, like, Tiger Blood and winning?
Oh, Charlie Sheen.
Doesn't he look like Charlie Sheen?
Yeah, a little bit. I can see it. Yeah, yeah. This that man is definitely HIV positive. Anyway.
Hey, jeez.
It's
allegedly.
I mean, Charlie Sheen, admittedly. Anyway, whatever. He's a crazy person. There was the pitch.
You could see Holmes. It's like in the backyard of Holmes. Yeah, look at this. How awesome is that?
The pitch is, there's just, yeah, it's like in the middle of just like people's backyards, and then people can just like watch the game, which is wild. One thing I did love, I don't know if people caught that. I didn't really see this people tweeting out that much, but there was somebody with an air horn at the game, and they would intentionally blow the air horn only during Tottenham free kicks. Did you see this?
God bless.
This was super funny. It was like Lucas Moura taking a free kick, I think, and literally right before he was about to strike the ball, you hear, I'm like, yo, I fucked with Marine FC.
Marine FC, top of the table for bands, you know what I mean? And also, you relegated for your impression of an air horn. What was that?
I don't know. Was that not good enough? It sounded pretty
good. That's an old creaky door at my grammar school. That's what that was.
Chad Benty's also mentioning Crawley. Did you see the video of the team Crawley singing the Adele song?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In their locker room or in their studio apartment they use as a locker room.
What did you think anything about that? I felt like it was fine. I don't know why. I feel like it went like viral, but I'm like, okay, they're just singing an Adele song. I don't know. This is like the British singing the national anthem. What's the big deal?
The players don't usually do that themselves. Usually, like, whenever the players get in some type of choreograph, anything in the locker room, that makes it, you know what I mean? That kind of goes viral. I think the English just love when people sing together.
I mean, the English definitely love Adele, right? Because obviously she's, one of the, you know, most highest selling musicians. And the fact that she's one of their own, and she's like, also, like, where's she from? Is she from Liverpool? She has that real, like...
No, isn't she? She's from North London. She's from Tottenham.
Okay. Her accent is, like, straight up, you know, she's the real deal. And the fact that accent can deliver that beautiful voice is, like, probably startling for some people. But they love the fact that that's, you know, that she's one of their own. So I could see why you know, people were into it, but I'm just like, all right, they're singing Adele poorly. I'd rather have her sing it. That's all.
Dude, DJ Minotti got a great point. That field would be dope on FIFA 22. How dope would that Marine field be?
For real, for real.
Every time you go to Scary,
it feels like a Volta pitch. You know what I mean?
Oh, it'd be so dope. Look, someone else, Paolo said, is that Charlie Sheen? Thank you very much.
Chorley, not Crawley. Oh, we just corrected. It's not Jeff. I mean, both sound believable. I'll be honest.
You could make up words. Again, Scunthorpe is a real place. So anything is possible. You used to do the shows at the hostels, right?
Yes.
I'll never forget. Like, I'm like, dude, it's a bunch of British people. I'll do a couple soccer jokes, get them on my side. It's all like British teenagers on some field trip. And I said, where are you from? To one of them. And she just made like two shush sounds with her mouth. And I was like, what was that? And she said it again. I'm like, we speak the same language and I have no clue what you're saying. I go, one more time. And she said, I was like, I look at the other person. I go, you tell me what she said. And they did the same thing. It's Shropshire. That's the name of a town. Shropshire.
Shropshire. Okay.
And I'm like, I was like, how the hell was William Shakespeare English? Because the same guy who wrote that poetry definitely didn't come from the same bloodline as the guy who was like, it's called Shropshire. You know what I mean? But aren't we going to spit in everyone's face when we say it?
You know? I don't care. We stick with it.
Forest Green Rovers, Colo Blanco, owned by or partially owned by Hector Bellerin. Thank you very much. Bellerin.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to talk about, people were bringing it up at the beginning of the stream about Mesut Ozil. Well, obviously, we're on Ozil watch all the time.
Where is he going? What's he wearing? Who's he talking to?
And I guess it looks like he's going to Fenerbahce.
I mean, that's been the rumor for forever, but it's not. Nothing is confirmed, right? I know the one thing is that they've confirmed that he will. That his plan is to cancel his contract.
Well, he's clearly been tweeting about Fenerbahce a little bit. And
he said that, you know, his plans are to play in Turkey and in the U.S. before he retires. And if he ever played in Turkey, it would only ever be for Fenerbahce.
Okay. Thank you for the follow. Yeet. 272764. Is that your phone number?
Yeet.
So I think he simply, I mean, it looks like it's almost over the line. We just need VAR to confirm.
Mikel Arteta's watch buzz?
So look, and then the comment was about let me see if I can play this. Mourinho, this was a weird thing that a journalist asked Jose Mourinho about Mesut Ozil, if he would ever. Responding to a question basically saying like that Mesut Ozil said he would never sign for Tottenham, and then they brought this up to Mourinho, which at this point it's like it's not even a real question, and it's not even like even for the sake of a joke, it's not even that, it's like a joke that you already know the punchline to.
Yeah, but it's because you know Mourinho's going to give you a headline, he's going to give you a quote. That's why you asked.
Is it worth the headline even?
Yes, because everything with the word Mourinho in England gets clicks, baby.
So this is obviously what it was.
That's their Kylie Jenner, dude.
Just a weird pause and then and awkwardness. It was just a predictable answer to me, like a lazy question. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm more on the journey. Like I'm criticizing the journalist a little bit, because even as a comic, I would say like if you're trying to get a funny answer, then there's better questions than this. You know what I mean?
We're talking about it.
Correct.
It worked.
Yes. I'm not saying it worked for the intention of talking about it. But it doesn't take too much to get people to talk about something that Jose Mourinho said. I get that. I'm just saying it still feels a little bit lazy. That's all I'm saying.
It's 100% lazy, but it's easy and it works.
Yeah.
So, again, my comedy career.
Okay, so we got a couple minutes left. If there's anything else people would like us to talk about, put it in the chat. Otherwise, we are going to raid the NWSL very soon. The draft is starting in a moment on Twitch.
Looks like Boca is losing to Santos. Looks like Santos is going to the final of the Libertadores.
Matthew Hoppe scoring a hat trick. We talked about this on the TV show, which will air tomorrow. And we had...
And the episode is out on Friday. So, yeah, we do talk about
correct.
It.
Correct. So we do talk about it in more detail. Obviously, we were very excited about learning about this American kid who we had never heard of. And now he is... Why isn't he starting in the World Cup, right? You know, we put a lot of pressure on these young U.S. internationals. Shexa said, did I mention how Bayern lost to a second league team to get knocked out of the German Cup? Who did they lose?
They lost to a guy named Holstein Kiel. That's the name of the club.
Who did they lose to? I did not see this game.
Holstein Kiel. Kyle.
I watched... what did I watch? I watched Bayern over the weekend. They lost... wait, they lost 8-7. What the hell happened? How many...
That's penalties.
I'm looking at it on FOTMOB and I just see 8-7. I'm like, what did I miss? This is insane.
Were they not allowed to have goalkeepers?
Was the Orlando City defender in goal?
He's got the right name for it.
Oh my goodness,
dude! If you look at the team stats, 23-7.
Wow. pretty surreal. Holstein Kiel plays in what league? What?
2 Bundesliga.
Oh, they're in the second. Okay, all right. It happens. It happens to the best of them. Bayern did lose. They lost recently, right? In Bundesliga.
I believe so.
Yeah, they lost to Borussia Mönchengladbach, which that's the game I did see.
I saw the game against Mainz, and dude, it looked like Mainz was going to win, and then like the last, I think 20 minutes was nothing but Bayern scoring on them.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at the table real quick in Germany. Bayern's definitely, you know, obviously they're in first, but RB Leipzig. I think the biggest concern is Borussia Dortmund. They really haven't.
Yeah, but for as bad a start as they've had, they're only in fourth.
Yeah. They've recovered a little bit. Union Berlin in fifth is actually pretty impressive as well, because we saw Union Berlin when we were in Germany, and they did not look great.
Did we see Union Berlin? We didn't see Union Berlin.
Didn't they play Dusseldorf?
No.
Who did they play?
Dusseldorf was Cologne.
Oh, that's right. I got it mistaken. Yeah. Apologies.
I would have loved to see Union. No, everyone tells us that it's a great stadium to go to. It's awesome. Okay. There was a great derby, not a derby days, but there was a great Copa 90 little doc about them.
Okay.
Was it? No. It was the guy, Caviar and Sausages, those two guys. I don't think they ever made videos again, but they were great.
Okay. I never heard of. Shexa said Union Stadium rocks. Okay.
Yeah, what is it? It's like in the middle of the forest or some shit like that, right? Mm.
All right. We gotta go someday. Hopefully when the world is somewhat normal.
Please.
Okay. All right, so let's wrap up, and we'll raid. Let's end the show, the podcast portion, and then we will raid the NWSL.
Yeah. So if you're listening and you don't know what Twitch is, don't worry. This is just hitting a button.
You don't got to do anything. There's no homework. Yeah.
You don't got to snitch on us.
Justin Freeberg said, "Cooligans living high off that ball deodorant money."
Yeah, we want to apologize to everyone who hates the first 4 minutes of our show, because we're just sharing some personal information, which, by the way, we've done for 5 years. Why is this surprising you?
Okay, that's just us being vulnerable, okay?
You know?
Please accept us as we are. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.
And by the way, I do want to just say, there is no ball deodorant money unless people use the code.
Yeah, we have not received this nest egg, as you may say. No.
Speaking of eggs, great deodorant for your hair, for your huevos.
And then a couple other things. Follow us on social media and stuff like that. Follow us on Instagram @SoccerCooligans if you have not, on Twitter as well, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. youtube.com/soccercooligans. Thank you. We just got a follow on here that I heard, but I did not see. Thank you for the follow. And that came from R.M. LaRiviere, or 1955. So I'm assuming this person was born in 1955. And thank you for tuning in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is past your bedtime, so thank you so much for following us.
With all due
also, shouts to Edwicha Deportes who followed us.
Yeah, we got a great username. We love it. I wonder where it came from. So everybody, thank you again for tuning in. Sorry, Nutmeg was a little loud. I will,
beat him. He's going to beat him, everybody.
I will give him less treats this time around. No. but thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it very, very much. So with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!